of my life, I've missed a lot of those opportunities when I was living far away from God. But I thank him that he was merciful and loving enough that he never left me, I left him.
Amen.
And I thank him for that conviction that he put on me that I couldn't stand anymore. And I know that I'm a prime example that if you're his child, he will chasten you. But it's out of love for you. And I thank him for that. I thank him for his blessings. Something Brother Calvin said a while ago that goes through my mind many times is we get confused with our needs and our wants. And honestly, most people, and I'm not saying everybody, but probably everybody sitting in here tonight, has so much that sometimes we don't know the difference between the two.
It's true.
And had on my mind lately just the condition of America, the condition of the world, and there are things happening in the world that I believe the coming of Christ is pretty nigh. I don't know that we've ever seen destruction and things going on like in my life. I've not seen it anyway. And I may not see Christ in my life, but that'd be good. I just shouldn't go the way of the clouds, the way of the grave. But I thank him for being a Savior. Thank him for his word. I appreciate you coming and filling in for Brother Darren. Remember everybody to pray for Darren that he's out. He's not here, but he's still doing God's work.
Amen.
And I pray and I thank him for the two souls that were saved. And that's what it's all about.
That's right. Anybody else, I tell you, testimonies are good for the soul.
Amen.
You get an opportunity to pop like popcorn, you ought to pop. And he's right, you know, just telling me about two that got saved. If just one got saved, it's already been worth it.
Amen.
You know, your pastor, you're really blessed to have him at this church.
Amen.
You don't have a pastor like him just everywhere you go. And if you visit as much churches as I do, you'll see that.
Amen.
But you're really blessed to have him, and when he gets back, y'all continue to love and support him and let him know you're with him. I believe with all my heart, he's been here about 5 years now. I believe right now he's got the cream of the crop.
Amen.
I really do. And you all just keep on holding him up. Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about.
Hi.
Yeah.
I was just going to have
him
say that I love the Lord and that I'm saved. Talking about that little girl, we went over there last night and prayed with her whatever the family was leaving today. And I can't, her little look is haunting me all day and all night last night. She had, but she always had previous eyes and little eyes. And she had such a fear on her face. And you know, you just wanted to hold her. You know, that it was a fear that didn't leave. We left, but it was still on her face. But I want you to remember this family, the little boy's only 8, and she's about 11. And the little boy feels awful. You know, it was an accident. He wasn't even directly at her. She was in another part. It was just such a freak accident. And not only that, yesterday, in their family, one of the girls was having a baby, and it was her first baby, and the cord got wrapped around and she died. And they took that baby and put it in clothes that this mom had took to the hospital and gave it to her and let her hold it. But here this family's, you know, you always remember what is always happening. One bad and we can all stop, you know, because it happens to us like that. And we
You know, I'm going to try to preach this message to you tonight called Holy Smoke, the Preacher's on Fire. That's kind of catchy, ain't it? I like it. As I don't know if I'm the right one to even preach it or not, but it's one the Lord gave me a long time ago, and I preach it every now and then. But I used to go to a lot of little churches now, and I noticed the up and down of the attendance. Maybe one Sunday they'd have 60, and the next Sunday be down to 30. But and I think the pastor's the key to having to keep the momentum going and to keep the excitement going. You get up here with a dry pastor, and everybody falls asleep. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to put us to sleep. Nothing's going to be accomplished. And he knows that. On my way over here tonight, I asked my wife, I said, how many great preachers do you think there are still left? And she didn't answer me. I went on down the street a little bit. I said, how many great preachers do you think there are still left? And she looked at me and she said, I'll tell you one thing. There's one less than what you're thinking. So the pastor's the key, amen? John 5:35 says, he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, for another opportunity to come praise your holy name. Father, we pray for all these objects that's been lifted up to you. Father, just lead and guide us in the service. Lord, may I just say what's pleasing to you. And Lord, just take this small little message and use it for thy glory. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Jesus said, there's none greater than John the Baptist. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Says, John the Baptist, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, God cannot make a mistake, folks. He has a specific purpose for a specific person. And he had called John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not an educated man. He didn't have a PhD. But his credentials were much higher than that. I remember back in 1995, I'll kind of let you tell you this so you kind of know where I'm coming from. I was called to preach back in March of 1995. And, for about, I guess, 2 weeks, the Lord was dealing with me about it. And I'd be going down the road in my car or my truck, and the Holy Spirit hit me about something, and the tears start flowing. I'd be shaving in the morning, and the Lord hit me about something. And the Lord then told me, you're going to preach. Well, I didn't fight it. I just kept it to myself. Didn't even tell my wife. Darren was going down to the church down there in Packlet to preach one Sunday morning. And the Lord said, this is the morning you're going to surrender to preach. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do this morning. I said, I want to do it in front of my home church, you know, right there in Fletcher. He said, no. He said, today's the day. So we got down to that little church. And like I was telling you about the attendance going up and down. And I walked in and I saw that number. And it's not about numbers, but it said 35. And when I saw that, the Lord said, you see what I'm trying to tell you? I need your help. Will you help me? And I said, yeah, I will, Lord. And as soon as Darren got through, as soon as he got through with his message, I just hit the altar. Surrendered to preach. And it kind of surprised him, I think. And I know it surprised my wife. But that was just between me and the Lord. And the reason I didn't tell anybody, I wanted to be sure. I wanted to know that I know. So I got that peace about it. So I surrendered to preaching in 1995. So every person has a purpose. it's not my nature to even want to preach. I just soon sit just like you all are and kick back, let somebody else do it. But I hear that still small voice, and I can't quit. So I seize every opportunity to come, and it's a joy, and it's a privilege to do it. But tonight, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. So tonight, I just say that so you kind of know where I'm coming from. A man with a call of God to not be soft-spoken in preaching the word. Now, I kind of am. I can't help it. But I heard a preacher one time, Eric Fletcher, he said, if a preacher doesn't have the Holy Ghost upon him, he can't preach. And I believe that. He needs the Holy Ghost upon him to be able to preach. Why do preachers lift up their voice and holler and scream and shout? Isaiah 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. John the Baptist had preached with power, and Jesus called him a burning and shining light. But John the Baptist, he didn't go around preaching, rededicate. He went around preaching, repent.
Amen.
Repent. That rededication, I don't even like that word. It's like putting a Band-Aid on the cancer. Just go ahead and get saved real good and get rooted and get it over with. People, John the Baptist was pointing people's sins out to them, and they didn't like it. People don't like that. They don't like to have their sins pointed out. But there for a while, for a season, to rejoice in his light. They were happy in his ministry for a while, and then they grew weary of it, is what Jesus is saying. Sometimes you feel like your fire has gone out. Remember when you first got saved, when you first came to the altar, maybe 6 months ago, a year ago, and how you just, all the burdens, like 1,000 pounds off your shoulder. But over a period of a few months or a few years, you get lulled back into that pattern. The devil's got you lulled back into a routine of 2 or 3 songs, my 4 no more, and go home. And that's the reason that I've got this message burning in me to get it across to you. We need to be fired up, folks. I've heard people say, well, you know, it's not about shouting and screaming and running and all that stuff. Well, it's not. But I'll tell you one thing. Everybody that Jesus touched, it was. When you read your Bible, they went out and wanted to tell everybody about it, and they got saved. You can't hide your light under a bush, folks, and be effective. Today, we need men and women have a fire in the souls and won't quit. You know, we have a lot of quitters. People quit. They get the pooch lit. They don't get their way, or they take the highway. Those kind of people, I wonder if they really got it. Sometimes the devil will slip you a counterfeit. You think you got it, but your light and the way your testimony, it makes people wonder if you really got it. So, people, they're looking for anything to quit. I don't know why but they do. It's just, it boggles my mind sometimes. Quitters, we don't need to quit. Now it's time to pick up a log and throw it on the fire.
Amen.
We need to get fired up. John the Baptist was a witness, buried witness of the light. John was a burning light because he pointed people to the light. You know, the closer you get to the light, the closer you are to the fire, the hotter you become. If you don't get close to the fire, you won't get cold.
Amen.
You won't get indifferent. You know, and I always talk about people holding back. I think sometimes that's why I hold back a little bit, because I don't see nobody else excited, brother. I don't see nobody else on fire. We need to get on fire. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. Jesus done come, paid it for us, and all we got to do is reach out and take it.
Amen.
He's done the work. He's done all the hard work. All we got to do is reach out and take it.
Amen.
Remember old Paul, he was a God hater. Didn't like church, didn't like people, didn't like religion. Heading to Damascus to kill more of them. But on the way, he saw a light. And that light was Jesus. And it brought him to his knees. And he immediately recognized him. And I said, Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord told him what to do. And when he got up, though, he was blind. Couldn't see. And he had to, Ananias had to come and touch him so he could see again. But he saw that light. And that's what we need to be. It's a light. We need to be a light. You never know who's watching you. You never know. Young people are watching you. It's amazing. How can I get on fire for the Lord? The Bible says, draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. Moses got close to God and his face shone with the glory of God. This Bible here is our rule book. Folks, we need to read it. We need to love it. We need to memorize it. A lot of people are bad when they go home, they put the Bible up on the shelf. It gathers dust. The next Sunday when you get up to go to church, you run through the house. It's, honey, where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? It's right where you left it last Sunday. You hadn't picked it up all week. That's right. You know I'm telling you the truth. That's the way people are. You need to read that Bible. Study it. No. How can you defend it if you never read it? To exhale the Word of God, you've got to inhale it a little bit. Amen?
Amen?
So we need to throw some logs on the fire, folks. We need to get excited. John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness. It says he had a voice that was set on fire by God. His tongue was anointed by God. And I want to read Isaiah 6:5-8 right quick, just to show you what I'm talking about. And it said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the Syrians unto me, having a colt in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I tell you what, every preacher ought to have a live coal from God's altar to touch his lips, to set him on fire. We need to be fired up. Quiet in here tonight. Must be hitting home. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. But I like to be fired up.
Yes, sir.
Why do we hold back?
Amen.
He's already paid it for us.
Amen.
Why do we hold back? Sometimes I wonder, what's it going to take? You know, you just like, right there, and you just like to shake some of them. Mm-hmm. You know, because some of them look at you like a cow looking at a new fence.
Yep.
You got to get fired up, folks. Got to get fired up. Sunday school teachers, you can be on fire.
Amen.
You come in on Sunday morning, if you haven't studied your lesson, if you haven't prayed up, and you try to teach a class, they're going to know it. Mm-hmm. You got to be prayed up. Our deacons need to be on fire.
Amen.
They need to help their pastor. Sometimes a deacon can beat the deacons. I've seen a few of those over the years. But they've been at a church for 30 years, and it's a power struggle, and nothing ever gets done. You can look at the outside of the church, it needs painting. They don't have a wheelchair rent. They haven't done anything to help God's kingdom. So, deacons, we need to get fired up.
Amen.
Choir needs to get fired up. I've been to some churches, it's a struggle for them to get out of Amazing Grace. And this is probably the best choir here at this church that I've ever heard. And I'm not just saying that. And I'm not saying that it's not any bigger than any other choir. But I'll tell you the difference. Y'all sing it like you believe it.
Amen.
And that makes a difference.
Amen.
When you're struggling to get one out, it makes you wonder if they believe it or not. John the Baptist preached the truth with fire. What is the truth? John says Jesus is the Lamb of God. There is no other Savior. The world is created by God. The truth shall set you free. People don't want to hear the truth anymore. They want some watered down something that's going to tickle their ears. You've got all these. God is not the author of confusion, folks. The devil is. This world's full of religion, and we don't need that. We need real people that are really saved and really want to do God's work. And like I told you earlier, I believe Darren's got the cream of the crop right here. I really do. He's got the cream of the crop. A lot of people believe in the Big Bang Theory, that there's a big explosion and all this just happened. I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I think God said bang and here we are.
Amen.
And I think he can say bang and here we go. He's the master.
Amen.
He's the one that created the world, this planet, not us. The Lord's coming back, folks.
Amen.
We need to be ready. Matthew 24:36 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Nobody knows the day or the hour. Well, you say, well, I've heard that for years. Noah preached for 120 years and finally the rains came. That's the best example in the Bible I can think of. It's for us to be ready. Jesus is coming. I want to read Acts 9:11 there just a sec. You don't have to turn. I just want to show you. Some of you look like you don't believe me, okay? "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So he is coming back. He's promised us that. And we need to be ready. I used to, years ago, people used to say, oh, it's the end of time, and I hear it on radio, TV. They don't know. And then when it didn't happen, he looked like a bunch of idiots. Nobody knows. The Bible tells us that. Any man tries to prophesize that, he's a brick shy of a full moon, folks. He is. It's the responsibility of every child of God to get on fire. Not just a preacher. Folks, we need to be prayed up. There's people out there that's dying and going to hell every day. And it seems like people don't care anymore. The preacher's always preaching to somebody else. You know? Yeah, old Brother Calvin, he needed that. Hey, we all need it. Amen.
Amen? Amen?
We all need it. Luke 14:23 says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled.
Amen.
Now, I'm sure on Sunday morning, the Lord probably looks down. He's probably disappointed in a lot of different churches. We're talking to a brother over there to my right, talking about churches that have closed down. Now they made them something else. If you don't use this church, God shut it down. He can do it. He's already done it in some places. We're living in a different age. Like you say, brother, I've never seen it like it is now. I never have. People are so self-centered. Are you on fire for God? I'm going to let you critique yourself on that one. I haven't heard a whole lot of amens here tonight. I haven't heard a whole lot of shouting. I haven't seen a whole lot of excitement. Are we really on fire for God? You say, well, preacher, what are you trying to do? Make me a holy roller or something? No, I'm not. But I want you to be excited.
Amen.
I want you to be happy. I want you to have joy in your heart. And you come in here on Sunday morning and that choir is singing, and I've heard them sing with power. I've heard them sing with the Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
I want you to be excited.
Amen.
We got somewhere to go. We're in the land of the dying. We want to go to the land of the living. You might as well enjoy the journey along the way. Hey, they're going to talk about you anyway.
Amen.
You might as well enjoy the journey. They're going to talk about you anyway. That's right. Another thing that the church needs to do is to get in one accord.
Amen.
Everybody needs to get in one accord.
Right.
Perfect harmony. We need to be in one accord, folks. I want to show you how this thing works. Your Sunday school teacher can't do it all. One little old light there shining. A lot of people, they don't want to take a position in the church or give anything to help. They say, well, let the Sunday school teacher do it. She can't do it all. That little candle right there. I've got 7 candles. That's God's perfect number.
Amen.
Right? The second candle represents the deacons. They can't do it all. They do what they can. Pastor's job is to feed the sheep. basically.
Right.
It's the deacon's job to take care of the widows of the church, take care of the church business. And if your pastor's got the extra time, that's good. That's in a church, especially this size, that's not always the way it's going to be. So the deacons can't do it all. They have a lot of responsibility. A good deacon can really help a pastor. And I know Darren's got some good ones here. The next one represents the choir. The choir can't do it all. People need to be in the choir.
Amen.
I've been in churches where a lot of people are set back. They're not excited. They're not on fire. They want somebody else to do it. This next one, that was hard to write. That represents the pastor. What about that? The pastor can't do it all. He's got to have help. He's got to have support from each one of you all. The next one represents the church. I tell you, the pastor and the church is having a hard time. One, two, three, four, five. The church, the number of grace. Everybody in the church can't do it all. Where are you getting at? If you get all these together, Sunday school teacher, the deacons, choir, the church, pastor, you get all them in one accord, you know what's going to happen? Number six. That's the one I like. Holy Spirit's going to show up.
Amen.
You get all these folks working together. And then the Holy Spirit will show up.
Amen.
And then you can have church.
Amen.
Like you really ought to have church. And here's the best one of all. And when the Holy Spirit shows up, Jesus will show up.
Amen.
All those get to working together. You've got a church that you get unstoppable. Because God's in control. We're all in one accord. The Holy Spirit's here. People are getting saved. Jesus is here. You can feel the love for one another. What a blessing that is. So that is why it's so important to be fired up.
Amen.
I want you to be fired up. They're going to talk about you anyway. You know, at Pentecost, they thought those fellas, the early church, they thought they were drunk. But see, over the years, or over the months, we get lulled. And we tend to watch. Don't watch other people. You enjoy your salvation. God gave it to you.
Amen.
Enjoy that salvation.
Amen.
My Bible says, with God, all things are possible. I'm done. Someone want to come to the piano? Anybody feels a need to come? You come. I'm not going to tarry. I'm going to enjoy my salvation. I done made my mind. They don't talk about me anyway. For years I didn't do that. I laid back and I sat there quiet. Let other people have their will and their way. I'm not going to do it anymore. He died for me. I can have eternal life.
Amen.
And I'm I'm looking for the day when I can go. I love my family. Don't want to leave them. I'm going to tell you, this old world, there's nothing worth staying here for. There's not. You look at the TV and the newspaper every day. It's not worth it. Draw my last breath, I'll be a hand reaching in for me. Boy, that's sweet. He gave me a sweet assurance, and that's why. Word of God. Everybody stay. Anybody need to come? This altar ought to be the most wore out place in the church. That's right. Well, I'll just let somebody else do it. We're never going to get anywhere that way, folks. Bless you, brother. Appreciate y'all having me Wednesday week ago and Sunday night. Tonight, it's been a joy. Right. It's been a blessing. Y'all a good crowd to reach to. I see the holy faces all around you. Right. God's in this place. I pray that you all come back Sunday. Fired up. Let a preacher see a different person. He'll say, "What in the world got into him? Oh, so and so." You can just say, "He's on fire." That's what we need. Amen. All minds and all hearts clear. All pocketbooks.
Church for 20 some years, South Church. I've asked him to call his name out, Stephen. been saved, and what else can you do? And you follow the church in some years.
The Father asking for his son.
Amen.
And his son.
Amen.
Jesus is asking for each one of us.
Amen.
Got a burden on his heart. Well, we need some burdens. You know what? We've got gospel hardened. That's the reason we're not fired up. Let's pray for us, dear brother, before we go.
Amen.
Heavenly Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight.
Yes.
And Father, we just ask that you bless this brother's son, that Father, that you'll touch him, that he'll get saved. And Father, that he'll get back in church. Father, we just pray for this dear brother that has a burden for his son. Lord, we need more burdens. We need more tears. We need more fire. And Father, we just ask you to have your will and your way in that situation. You know all about him. And we just pray for this church, Lord, that it continues to grow. Father, that it'll be built for your kingdom and your glory. And well, Father, just bless all those that came tonight. Lord, we just pray that they go home and they'll say, hey, you know, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been refreshing. We smell the fragrance of the Lord tonight. Come back Sunday and let us smell you again. Let us feel the wind of God. Lord, that's what we need. Lord, we just ask these favors in all thy name. It's in Jesus' name. Unhook. Darren, hook back up Sunday morning. You're dismissed. God bless.